Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey.
There we go. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, and we're bringing to you bonus coverage.
That's right.
Saints Talk. That's what we do. I go on vacation for a week, come back, they put me to work, got to do two shows. But now I'm a little worried, you know, that job security, it don't feel so good right now. So now I'm just coming in, put my nose down to the grindstone, put in the work.
Franchise tag, and that'll be it.
Yeah, I don't want to get vicaroed. You know, it's like you think you got some stuff going on, then next thing you know, I'll be like, bro, and be like, I just want to come back home. So I can't pick on the man. I like the man. I hope he comes back, right?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, and matter of fact, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, Vaccaro, and the thing is, I don't know if I'm just ate up with the idea that he was a first-round draft pick and he's better than he is, because the NFL right now is telling us he's not that good.
Yeah.
Nobody's banging on his door trying to get him signed.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I've been saying this for as long as we've been doing this show. You, I know you get a little hung up on that whole he was a first-round draft pick thing. I know it's still painting you with Stephon Anthony and you know.
We bringing him back? No. Hold up. Oh, wait, I missed something? No? Oh, okay. No, I want to put it this way. It's like an investment. You go and you invest in something, whether some new flooring or a new roof on your house or a new car. You want it to be a good investment. So I will be the first to admit that I tend to, with these higher draft picks, to hang on to them a little bit longer. Maybe if they just got a better coach. Maybe if they just, something went a little bit better. And the opposite, and Tomas is looking at me all sideways, with these undrafted free agents, I'm like, you got to prove it to me. And I know, I get it. It may not be fair, but I'm like, I am not. Look, you're a first-round draft pick, and I know that some of them, because, okay, I should have done my homework, and I didn't. If you go back and look at the draft that Vaccaro came out in, okay, it was a horrible first round.
Yeah.
I mean, I just remember looking at it because I'm like, oh, man, literally, we should have picked, like, you know, the average fan.
Yeah.
We should have picked, he's out of the league. He's not very good. Didn't get tendered. He didn't get tendered. And the fact of the matter is, it was a terrible, now there were some good players in the second and third round. But the first round in that year that Vaccaro came out, just not a lot of good ball players.
Yeah.
Well, I think you think you're looking at it from one perspective. Let me give you a different perspective.
Oh, let's give it. Let's get the Tomas perspective.
Here you go. All right. So you're playing a stock market, okay? And so you say, man, look, this stock, oh, this would be a winner right here. This stock is going to be great. Everybody's talking about it. You call your broker up, man, I want to buy 100 shares of this stock. The stock market says, man, it's a great day. It's a good thing. And you think, you know what? This one over here kind of interests me. I'm thinking maybe I get another 100 of this. Your stock market says, man, you crazy? Hey, this stuff no good. Don't waste your money. Nah, you know, I think I want to spend. Okay, a year later, that big stock that everybody's talking about has tanked. But the one that you were like, and everybody's like, no. Man, it zoomed up. Man, you're making money.
That's Ken Crowley.
That's correct.
That's Ken Crowley.
And who was it that said Ken Crowley?
Oh, God. See, all right.
Just saying.
I mean, you know, if you weren't my friend, man, he goes down the list and he got like 24 undrafted free agents. And he picks them all. They all going to make the team. I remember the one year. I'm like, who's not making the team? And there's one linebacker. I'm like, well, now, you know, that guy, I can't remember any of them's names. And I'm like, that one, he's going to make it too. I'm like, golly, man. So you play the odds. The penny stock.
Yeah.
He plays the penny stock, and when that one hits big, it hits real big. And it did. You know, we've
been talking about. Want me to give you one? I'll give you one.
All right, give me another.
Here's one. It's honest to God truth. 9/11 happens. And so I'm sitting at home going, man, this is terrible. But a day later, I'm like, you know, I wonder if I can invest in the stock market. Because, you know, the planes are all grounded. Nobody's going to be flying for a while. That stock's all going to tank. So I call up my broker and said, look, I'm thinking about buying 100 shares of plane stock. He goes, so you lost your mind? I said, no, seriously, man, look, you know, I've got it down to either Delta or Southwest. So he said, look, Tomas, you're going to be stupid. At least pick Southwest. They've never gone into the red. I said, okay, let's buy some stock. I said, I'll pare it down. Instead of getting 100, let's get just 50. Let's get 50 shares at $17 a share. You know what Southwest is trading for right now?
Mm-mm.
$64 a share.
So that's a good thing. That's not the airline that they're kicking all the people off.
Delta went, they claimed bankruptcy.
Did
so
they?
You lost
oh, back
everything.
Then. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. No, it's funny because now you have all these airlines and they over there like, I mean, I don't know, you must not be able to lose with an airline because, I mean, they don't like the way you look at them. It's like, sir, I'm going to need you to exit the plane. Well, I'm not. And they just go all Junior Galette on you.
Well, I don't know what planes these people, I mean, I don't fly.
I mean, it's
airlines.
Like every week. I haven't seen one in a few weeks, but I swear there was a period, I don't know, a month or two ago where it's like every week it was like, yep, here we go again. You know, this lady got
well, you know,
dragged off a plane.
One of the problems in flying these days is this. Because they cut back so much, there are really no extra seats. So if for some reason or another your plane gets weather or something, whatever happens, you don't make that flight, dude, you could be in the airport for 3 days waiting.
Right.
Because there are no extra seats. You know, because they cut back on all these flights. Whereas before, you know, I mean, I flew on a plane one time when it was just like three people on the whole plane. And they flew. Yeah, and I was like, okay, I got.
Now they're like, hey, listen, we can't do it.
No.
You know, we're cutting back. We only got like 10 people. We just
we canceled that flight. That flight's been canceled. You know.
All right. Hey, it's bonus coverage. Let's get this show started.
Thank you. Thank you. And now, it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready? Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, Tomas, it's what everyone's been waiting for. It's why we do the bonus coverage.
Yes, sir.
It's Tomas's mock draft.
Oh, yes. Okay.
2.0.
That's correct.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I got it right here in front of me. Print it out. Right here. Now, you know, there are a lot of people that say, hey, you know what? Why bother to do a mock draft? Things change all the time. Yeah, but see, our audience wants to know.
They want to stay informed.
That's right. They want to stay informed. That's our job.
Because it's fun. That's why.
Well, you know.
No, you know what, Tomas? I'm going to bring, because somebody said that to us, and it was part of that thing where somebody got on me on Twitter for speculating about why Sue may have left and visited. It's like, if we took away speculation, they'd be like, hey, boss, I'm not going to be here this week to do the show, you know, or just what's the point? To me, I have so much fun in the off season, yeah. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, there is no game to talk about.
Right.
There is no actual thing that you say, this happened. And this is why this happened.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
now like, you know what I think might happen, which would be really cool. And that's what makes it so exciting.
Sure.
It's just the hope, man. The you know, so you, all these mock drafts, like we talked about in Donovan Sue. I get that it's probably not a good. And what is it about it that just gets you so excited about the possibility of what could possibly happen with them? So
yeah, like the team could fall apart. We go 7-9.
Yeah, you see, or all the great things. Nobody could run the ball on us. We'd have the most dominant defense ever. To be.
Get that positivity out of here.
We don't get that. Again. All right. Speaking of excitement and all this motivation and speculation, let's get to that mock draft.
All right. So this is the 2.0. This includes a lot of the free agency signings that have been going on. So it changed up a lot of things in here. But it doesn't include any more trades in there. I have, again, speculation.
Right.
There's some speculation. There are a couple of trades hanging out there.
Okay.
That could change the order. But I'm going to go with the order as of today. Number one is Cleveland Browns. But because of all the trading around, I have changed up. I think with the very first pick, the Cleveland Browns will take Sam Darnold, quarterback, USC.
All right.
The second pick will be the New York Giants. Now, the Giants, if they stay at number two, I think in order to make sure and calm the little feathers of little Eli Manning, they need some help on the offensive line. So they're going to take what many people believe to be the best player in the draft, Quentin Nelson, offensive guard, Notre Dame. Now the Jets have moved up to number three. And with the third pick taken from Indianapolis, the Jets will take Josh Rosen, He's the guy who most people believe is the closest to being ready to actually play in the NFL from UCLA. And Cleveland still gets their man at four. They'll still pick Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State. Now, here's where I had some real changes. Denver Broncos, with the signing of their quarterback, Dave's favorite, second favorite,
here we go,
Casey Keenum, Denzel Ward, cornerback, Ohio State, because they got rid of the cornerbacks, so they needed cornerbacks. The Colts, who are now at six, will still get Bradley Chubb, edge from North Carolina State. Tampa Bay, Minka Fitzpatrick, defensive back, Alabama. Chicago Bears is a change. Harold Landry from Boston College, outside linebacker. And then San Francisco and the Raiders, both of them linebackers, so three linebackers in a row. I had the 49ers taking Tremaine Edmonds from VTech, Virginia Tech, and the Raiders taking Roquan Smith from Georgia. The Dolphins, since they no longer have Sue, unless, of course, maybe they're still in it and maybe they're going to sign Sue back. And, all right, anyway, I have them taking Marcus Davenport, the edge from UTSA. The Bengals, Derwin James, safety from Florida State. The Washington Redskins, Josh Jackson, cornerback of Iowa. Green Bay Packers, Isaiah Oliver, cornerback from Colorado. Arizona Cardinals, Josh Allen. He draws all the way down to 15, quarterback from Wyoming.
Huh.
And the first half ends with 16. Baltimore Ravens taking Connor Williams, offensive tackle from Texas.
All right, so now we got the first half of the Mock 2.0. We're going to take a quick break.
All right.
Then we're going to come back, talk some more Saints, and then we're going to finish up that mock draft. Matter of fact, I think we even have a Tomas rant, or is it a Heath rant? Or maybe we can have our first dueling rant.
Yeah, all right.
So we'll be right back.
A rant by proxy.
No, yeah, Natural Man Billy Rabbit here, and Bulk Rogan, brother, here with the DHD Mania, with the BS and Beer Podcast,
weekly,
gotta love that podcast, every week with your hosts, Dave, Heath, and Tomas, with all that juicy, juicy information, all about the Saints news, stats, and school,
not free for view,
so be there,
or get it wobbled.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coonass.
All right, welcome back. Listen, I have an email from one of our listeners, and it says the reasons why the Saints should not draft a wide receiver, a tight end in the first round. First of all, I don't see that because of the value, but let's see what Dave has to say about it. All right, he says there are few players who can learn the complicated playbook of Sean Payton in their rookie season. Payton admits to expecting to draft Kamara, but still sign Peterson. Why? Payton learned a valuable lesson with Spiller, who could not learn the playbook. Austin Carr likely had issues with the playbook as well, a little bit of speculation. Bring back Ben Watson. And he says, I know Casey is in Denver, but after this weekend, could you play Sudio? So, hey, Dave, this long-distance dedication is for you. Sudio. I get where you're going there. I get where you're going. Anyway, I don't know how that went over if it did at all, but yeah. I tell you what.
Lucky for you that I actually like.
Yeah, no, you were telling us the story. You were telling us the story. I didn't really get – I mean, I knew the song, Sudio. I'm just like, I don't – like, Sue. I'm like, okay, I'm picking up what you're putting out. Anyway, we sadly lost Tom Benson, the Saints owner, this past week. There's some lots of stuff that he did for the city. I remember, maybe 15 or something like that when he he bought the Saints.
85 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So the guy was, he changed the landscape of the team. You know, now was it Meacham who owned the team prior to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And, I mean, Meacham. Yeah, Meacham. Yeah, the rapper. Listen, I think that it's one of those things where for so long the Saints had an owner that really didn't care anything about winning or running the team like business.
He just wanted to have a team.
Yeah. And then Benson came and changed things because, quite frankly, you know, I know there were a couple of lean years in there, but 85, that's when Mora came in, and all of a sudden, you know, Saints were winning ball games. Now, not playoff games, but.
Right.
Well, because you had an owner who realized he didn't know anything about football. And he said, you know, I'm going to hire the best people I can until I get my feet underneath me. And so he got Finks in there, who really knew everything about football. And then he picked up Morrow. And then the USFL went under, and he was able to pick up some players from that team, you know, from those teams. And so it turned everything around. And he really wanted to bring a winner to the city. So, you know, it was a blessing. We had season tickets at the time, and so, you know, we were all happy to see Meekum go.
Yeah.
So,
I can imagine.
Yeah. What an investment it was.
I mean, ungodly.
$70 million, I think he paid for it.
Yeah, something like that. And then now, is it a billion?
It's over a billion.
Yeah, it's over a billion.
Well over a billion? Yeah. Okay.
All right. So now, having said that about Mr. Benson, Heath and I sort of come to the agreement here. It was something that really bothered me. To the point that I'm going to say to you, it's going to be like my rant.
Oh, a Tomas rant.
It's going to be a dual rant. Because I'm also going to be challenging my good friend Heath over there. I'm channeling him because...
His inner Heath?
Yeah. Because we are in agreement here. No sooner had Mr. Benson passed away than you had people out there sniping at the Saints. Well, you know what this means. They're moving. Oh, yeah, you know, it's up in the air. We don't know. A source tells me.
Oh,
I have it on good information. That the Saints are going to be in a bad way. Because these people could not wait. The haters out there, the wannabes, well, I don't know, whatever you want to call them. But it just irks the hell out of me. Because Mr. Benson meant a lot, not just to the New Orleans Saints, but to NFL football as well. Every team in this league benefited from Mr. Tom Benson. You know, he contributed a lot of money to repair the toilet bowl that they had up there that they used to play the Hall of Fame game in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was in charge of finances for he was the head guy of the finance committee. He did a lot of things for every owner and for every player, if you think about it. So for these people to come out and snipe at him. Now, the truth of the matter is, let's be realistic here. He has given all rights and privileges of ownership to his wife. But he made sure and got all of that taken care of while he was still alive. So that when he passed away, it was already approved. The NFL has already approved. The NBA with the Pelicans has already approved.
Yeah.
So there's nothing up in the air. There's no team out of sync. It's a smooth transition. We know exactly where it's going to go. All the people that Mr. Benson had put in place to handle the finances, that they're all still in place. Nobody's going anywhere. So that was something that just really got to me, that the way that these people, you know, have a little respect for God's sake. You know, the man passed away. If you have nothing good to say, then say nothing. If you have something good to say, then speak up, say your piece, Godspeed, Mr. Benson, and move on.
Yep. Clickbait.
So, just creating drama for the sake of clickbait.
And somebody even said it before that, you know, boy, if you think you saw the stories about, you know, speculation before, wait until, you know. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, it came out of the woodwork and it was, you know, this is all going to be uncertain and, you know, Gail is going to sell the teams and this, that, and the other and, you know.
And didn't I mean, this all played out in the media.
Yeah, we saw the whole thing unfold with the grandkids and the whole nine yards. You know, I guess the angle is that what they're saying is there is still potential and opportunity for them to challenge again in some sort of way about this whole thing with the ownership. But it's already been stated by local legal professionals and all, it would be a tall mountain to climb to undo what's been done, you know, with Gail taking over everything, and it's a non-story.
Well,
that's
now,
the bottom line.
Matter of fact, in the actual will, because now what we're talking about is all the legal stuff that was done to separate the Saints and the Pelicans from
the trust
assets,
and all
the
that
trust
kind of stuff,
and
yeah.
All that stuff. But there was a will, and wasn't there something in the will that specifically said that
they get nothing.
They get nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they got what they're going to get, and there is no more, and it can't be challenged.
So not even the trust. It's just him saying in the will itself, you guys get nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there's already been challenges on whether he was
competent
to do all
right.
This stuff and all of that's passed.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, much to do about nothing. But again, I think off the air, we went and we kind of talked about it. And I think where the irritation came up is just, it just seems like this whole internet thing, which I guess we're part of too. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like everybody is trying to be the guy.
Yeah, the blogging culture. And they're all competing for clicks.
During the free agency, the start of free agency, you have all these people out there who are, you know, bloggers.
Yeah.
And they want to be inside guys. They want to be the guy that knows something, and they don't. And listen, I've covered the Saints, I mean, 4 years back in the day, and over the last 3 years. The point is, man, unless you one of the big dogs, a Nick Underhill or one of the, like, people are not giving you that inside information. Now, look, I get it. If your mom is a secretary over at the and hears something or whatever, like, you can, I'm not saying it can't be done. But these people who aren't insiders, they're not working for a major publication, they're not working for NFL, that they're not getting inside sources. People do not, that is gold. Right. That is gold in the internet, or not the internet, I'm sorry, the reporting world.
Yeah.
And so, like, you don't give inside information. Matter of fact, you see it with Sean Payton, and he has people in New Orleans that he won't give inside information to. And he has a couple of guys in the NFL. They'll get the news on the national level before the local guys do.
Yeah.
And that's because Sean Payton wants to reward them for something. I don't know what it is, but he has a special relationship. People don't give out information to people who are part-time writers or writers for secondary. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So when I see all this stuff, you know, it's like it's those people who are trying to generate some type of credibility.
Right.
Who come out and start reporting all kinds of stuff, or saying stuff like, oh, man, there's some big news coming out tomorrow. And then...
Bigger than the signing of Drew Brees.
Then the next thing you know, something happens. It's like, see, I told you so. Get out of here, man. I'm not trying to hear that nonsense.
Exactly.
Unless you can tell me I have a source, and that source said this, this, and this. Listen, it's irritating, and it causes problems for other people who are trying to do a legitimate job out there, that you lose credibility with the fans. So, yeah, you know, it's so all this stuff, and the same thing goes with the Tom Benson thing. It's like, what kind of clickbait can I write? So how did I get drug into the Tomas and Heath rant today?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, because I think it's something that touches all of us. You know, we're all very sad to lose Tom Benson, because he was really the best owner you could possibly have hoped for the New Orleans Saints. And really, he was a man who gave willingly to the city itself, you know. And so, you know, like, they had the just spontaneous march, you know, the second line that happened when they announced that he had passed away. And I mean, it was thousands of people.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, he's done a lot of good stuff for New Orleans. And I know
there's been some controversy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. There's been some, with the whole thing of, and listen, when adversity hits like that, listen, you have a billion-dollar business.
Yeah.
You have to make contingency plans when something go. There were thoughts that New Orleans would never recover from Katrina.
Yeah.
And at that point, listen, you got to cut the guy some slack, man. If he's over there making contingency plans to keep his business viable.
Right.
I don't hold it against him. You know, did I say something? You laughed. I don't know if you were agreeing, disagreeing.
No, I agree completely.
Yeah. So, there are people still like, well, you know, hey, man, I give him a hard time, and I saw it on Twitter about that, or maybe at least just bringing it up. But at some point, you got to say, look, man, if you have something of value, and, you know, you got to do something to try to make it viable.
Right.
And when things got to the point where you realized New Orleans would recover, then where's the Saints? The Saints in New Orleans. So you can't really be hard on a guy because he was trying to do what's best for his business and family and all that stuff.
Right.
In the end, he didn't do it, and he very easily could have done it.
Right.
So,
yes.
You know, I don't hold that against him.
No.
Right. And he bought the NBA team so that they wouldn't leave New Orleans.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Far, far more good than any potential bad that we could bring up about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of bad. You want to get back to your your draft there? No, I'm kidding, man. Tomas.
Look at that look.
That's all right. Not a problem.
Well, I gotta bring y'all back down after last week.
Agents.
After last week, and you guys are trying to take my show from me.
Yeah.
I gotta.
Jeez.
Just remember, after the draft, I'll be picking out those UFAs.
That's where he excels.
And then I'll be telling you, hey, look, these guys are gonna make it, and you're gonna take. Oh, you always say that. Okay.
I'm just gonna pull out the recording from the previous years.
Go ahead.
And so I don't have to. We just do the same thing. If you're gonna pick them, I'm gonna complain about them.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
So the next 16, and then we want to go over here. At 17, we have the L.A. Chargers, I had them picking Rashawn Evans, linebacker, Alabama. 18, Seattle Seahawks, Mike McGlinchey, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. Dallas Cowgirls, picking Orlando Brown, offensive tackle, Oklahoma. Detroit Lions, Darius Geis, running back, LSU. The Buffalo Bills, Baker Mayfield, quarterback, Oklahoma. And again, Buffalo Bills, Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Alabama. The L.A. Rams, Cortland Sutton, wide receiver, SMU. Carolina Panthers at 24, Dante Jackson, defensive back, LSU. 25, Tennessee Titans, Will Hernandez, offensive guard from UTEP, who I really like. 26, Atlanta Falcons, Tavin Bryant, defensive tackle from Florida. And then at 27, our New Orleans Saints. I've changed.
Uh-oh.
From tight end, we are now looking at an edge rusher. Sam Hubbard, Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Ohio State. See, that? There's another one of those guys.
Yep.
If they from Ohio State.
The Urban Meyer to Sean Payton connection.
There you go.
But they've been good to us, so I can see where it's coming from.
Yeah.
So,
well, I have them highly rated. 28, Pittsburgh Steelers, Malik Jefferson, linebacker, Texas. The Jacksonville Jaguars, taking DJ Moore, wide receiver, Maryland, since they let go all their wide receivers. Minnesota Vikings, they have nobody to throw to.
Yes.
Minnesota Vikings, Isaiah Wynn, center guard from Georgia. The New England Patriots, Josh Sweat, defensive end, Florida State. And the Philadelphia Eagles, Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle, Michigan. And that tells you the top 32 as of today.
Right.
Now, there's some talk about, a good source tells me, an inside source tells me, you know, somebody on the internet said that it looks pretty good that the Bills will trade up to number 2.
That'll throw a wrench in some stuff.
In which case, like I said, then you'll have Darnold. Then you'll have, instead of dropping down to the, what position I told you there, Josh Allen, instead of going to 15, will be number 2, going with the Bills. I think he makes a perfect fit with the Bills simply because he has a really strong arm. Bad weather up there, bad wind, bad snow, you know. That arm will overcome that. And then the Jets will pick Rosen. So I think that, 1, 2, 3 could well be 3 of the top quarterbacks. Now, I'm not enamored with the kid from Louisville, Jackson, but you never know. If Arizona doesn't get
Allen,
Josh Allen, then it could well be that by the time Arizona comes up, they'll pick Jackson from
UofL. You know, here's the thing, and it starts out every year, and it's like, well, you know, by the time the draft gets here, all these quarterbacks fly up the board.
Yeah,
sure.
So I am not one who's enamored by him either, by Jackson. Having said that, the more, I mean, he's getting momentum, and I'm hearing more positive things. And I always say this. It's not that the people, these mock drafts and stuff from these publications change. It's not necessarily because the player got better. It's because they're starting to hear more information from the NFL teams.
Yeah.
And this word gets out, and this guy has a source. Sure. And next thing you know, it's like, ooh, people actually like this guy more than we thought. And so they start moving kids up the – but every year, man, every single year, it's like the quarterback somehow or another – for instance, you have a guy sliding down who's a good quarterback, but you did yours without any trades.
Right.
Well, somebody, if he gets past, I don't know, I'm just throwing out there, if he gets past 8, you might, what you're doing is you look at it and say, man, look, this team will not draft a quarterback. But somebody's going to trade with them to move up to get one of those young quarterbacks.
And then right. It'd have to be, like, I mean, there are 2 teams that I could see Jackson going to. I can see him going to the Arizona Cardinals, but I can also see him going to the Jaguars. You know, because he's not going to be the guy starting. This is the thing. Jackson's got talent. There's no doubt about that. Got a good arm. But he wasn't impressive at the combine. You know, and he's a running kind of quarterback. So you're going to have to gear your offense towards that. And it's going to be some team that says, you know, we can sit him for 2 years, 3 years, teach him how to be a quarterback.
Sure.
So that's why I'm kind of leery about Arizona taking him, simply because Arizona needs a quarterback today. They don't need one in 3 years.
Right.
You know? So you have to find a team that says, well, you know, so a lot of people have him going to Pittsburgh for this very reason. They're like, well, you know, Roethlisberger got maybe 2 or 3 years left to him. He can sit behind him and learn the game. But he's not the offensive game plan in Pittsburgh does not fit the kid from Louisville, Jackson. You know, so.
Interesting. Well, anyway, when could we expect the
3.0 will be right before the draft.
Right before the draft. Okay. All right. We kind of
going to wait. Draft is April 27th, 26th, 27th. So probably the show right before that, I'll have the final 3.0.
And we're going to do this year, we're going to do the BS and Beer mock draft.
Oh, cool.
So like
very
we
good.
Did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, very good.
But
we got
several people. One person said something about they enjoyed it.
Yes,
and then
yes.
Several other people emailed me a couple of tweets saying, yeah, we enjoyed that too. So sometimes you don't realize people appreciate it. We'll have a little fun with it again this
Sounds
year.
Sounds good. I'm game.
Well, anyway, one more little comment I saw, and it brings up another thought. Did you read on Twitter where this woman who is a reporter for Denver somehow or another said she had an inside source? Here we go with the inside sources.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inside sources tell me, was it Eric Decker?
Yeah.
Is heading to New Orleans for a visit.
Right. Yeah.
And Sean Payton gets on there and says,
bad source.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, unless I looked at it wrong, yes, he said bad source. And she said, well, if I had a bad source, I apologize. And he replied, no if about it, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he
yeah.
didn't just let it go. Something got under his skin.
Yeah.
So then I don't know which one came first, because I texted out to a couple of buddies and said, did you see where Sean Payton said this? And he's like, well, he said that to Nick Underhill. I said, no, I just saw it. It's this woman. And I'm like, are you joking? Are you serious? So Sean Payton must have been in a bad mood and was taking it out on Twitter today.
Yeah.
So
when Nick Underhill wrote on Twitter, he said, if Sean Payton has time to answer on Twitter,
I'm out. Apparently, Sean Payton has a lot of time on his hands today. I'm not tweeting no more is what
yeah,
he said.
That's what I am.
So, and I think Sean Payton, if I'm not mistaken, sometimes I'm just glancing over this stuff, called him out about something as well, about saying that. And I think he reported the same thing. I don't know if he just retweeted or something.
Right.
And it's just that, boy, you know, like, I mean, you know. Yeah. A fan calls you out and you say, you know, I think such and such is going to happen. A fan's like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You could be like, dude, I'm Nick Underhill, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I Nick is great. He does his homework. He does his research. But when the coach of the team that you just said something's going to happen tweets you and says, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, you know, what do you say after that? Yeah. So, but hey, he puts out a lot of good information. So whatever that case is, and, you know, sources can sometimes be unreliable.
Right. Right.
But it makes you wonder, all those people who are saying things and we give them a hard time for their sources, Sean Payton didn't call them out and say you're wrong, so maybe they are right.
Well, you
got
to imagine when you're a guy, Sean Payton, the perspective he has on the blogger clickbait stuff and all.
Oh,
the stuff he hears
when
you're literally the guy that knows it all, the truth about all of
everything.
It.
Yeah. You know it must be super irritating.
It's
like,
got to be.
That new thing, I say new thing, when did it start happening? A couple of years ago, maybe last year, where they do the pre-game blitz reports, you know, where they like, oh, you know, Coach Sean Payton just are about all the teams. You know what I'm talking about? No?
No.
You're looking at me? Well, they now it seems like it's something new. Like before, a couple hours before the game, they start coming up with all these insiders come up with just little tidbit reports.
Uh-huh.
And Sean Payton wasn't happy about those.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing where you just come up with little tidbits of information that you report Yeah, you got to imagine.
Sean Payton has never been too media friendly.
No.
You have to remember where he comes from.
Yeah.
Of the Bill Parcells.
Yeah, the big tuna school. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah. So, you know what's funny? Isn't it amazing how you get away with stuff like that? Like, the older you get, when you're young, you're brash and arrogant. When you're old, you're just like, I mean, he just says what's on his mind.
That's right.
You know, get the hell out of here, you know? So, and I think Sean Payton's starting to get you know, before it was CrossFit and he was like, oh, man, looking. Now he's kind of like, hey, you know, I'm getting old, man. I'm tired. You know, I don't have time to run and flip tires and
get
stuff
like
that.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, get off my lawn. Just, you're not getting this ball back. I told you, kids.
Yeah.
I told you. All right, you got anything else?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. There we go. That's what
there you go.
You know what I thought about it? Because of the time constraints on the radio, we don't have time to ask the question, you have anything.
Yeah.
So it's really our fault for not getting the response that we like.
That's right.
Tomas, any final thoughts?
No.
All right, man.
I'm good.
Me either. Hey, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Good day.
You were the girl that changed my world. You were You dropped the bomb on me.